You are listening to episode 77 of the FitzPro podcast, and today's episode is all about things that I have observed about mentors, heroes, people in general, men and women, that I hold in a high regard, whether that is in a personal experience in real life and or on social media, from their books, whatever. So these are just things that I, like I said, have observed. I think that they are qualities that I aspire to have and to build and to cultivate. And so I thought that today I would share them with you. So that's what you're in for. Without further ado, let's dive in. The FitzPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitzPro. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitzPro. Please remember that you need to check the show notes to see if you were the reviewer of the week, and then also check the show notes and Annie's weekly wrap, which is my weekly newsletter, to see if you were the reviewer of the month as well. The reviewer of the month gets a 50% off coupon code for any non-membership of mine, non-membership offer, and then also a freebie from Frey Skincare, which you guys know that I love. You can subscribe to Annie's weekly wrap at anniemiller.co/news. Alrighty, so today's episode idea came to me during this last month or so with everything that's going on in the States here with COVID and racial and social injustices and really just people's behavior overall in real life and on social media, which is where I do life. So during some of my personal work in that process, I found myself reflecting on some mentors, maybe you would call them heroes, or people that I just hold in high regard who I look up to. And I figured, why not share some of that with you humans, with my humans? There are strong attributes, for sure, practices and constants, I would call them, that I see in humans and that I aspire to have or practice or be like in literally every aspect of my life. So number one is that they stay true to themselves. And with this, I will say a lot of these are going to sound very broad and or cliche, but I'm going to go through examples of what I'm talking about with each of these. So number one is that they stay true to themselves. Go figure. That's somewhat obvious. Like I said, the first step of this to me is to have a deep and growing understanding of self, because we can't stay true to something that we are unaware of, right? You can tell that these people who I'm talking about are on their own team. They make self-discovery a priority and they stay true to that. Well, I guess to parts that they want to cultivate, I should say. Obviously, part of self-discovery is finding less than desirable things out about ourselves, right? We all have ugly sides, dark sides, things that we aren't proud of within our personality or our attributes or our tendencies, and that is part of being normal. That's part of the journey. These people own all of those parts, and they stay true to their true self while being aware of the ugly parts too. And I think that that's important. It's not that these people, in staying true to themselves, seem perfect. It's that they seem human and they're true to all of the human aspects of themselves, which I guess could be, you know, it's just that they're authentic and aware. And that's what draws me to these people and what I aspire to be like. Number two is that they stay true to their values. Hi. Obviously, this is a huge one for me. If you don't know, values are very important to me, especially on social media, especially in places where people can only see, you know, a snippet of our life and they think they know so much. I think it's incredibly important to stay true to yourself and to your values, especially on media or anywhere that it can be misconstrued or misunderstood, whether that is, you know, in a divisive way or in an innocent way, because both can happen. And values are huge to me, and it was one of the biggest and best pieces of advice that I received early on in business. And I actually shared this on an IG post like a week or so ago. Our values permeate everything, right? Whether you want it to or not, your values do. They permeate all of the areas of your life, all of your actions, all of your behaviors, and they drive our beliefs and therefore, like I said, our actions. Their values, the people that I'm talking about here, are clear to me. It's not that they, you know, verbally state them, but that they live them out, that it's constant, that I can see them in their life, on social media, in their interactions, in their conversations, in how they show up, how they use their voice, how they lead or coach or run their company, how they process things. It's not a secret that I think knowing your core values is one of the most important things we can get clear on as human beings in general. I'm not talking entrepreneurship. I'm not talking coaching. I'm just talking as a human being. Knowing your core values is something that I think is very important because they ground you and they determine a lot of our behaviors and actions, which kind of goes back to number one, learning about and being true to yourself. Know them and then stand firm in them. Which brings me to number three, which is that they have a firm philosophy and speak their truth without apology. They have a firm philosophy and speak their truth without apology. That can apply to everything. Remember, I know it can be easy to like apply this all to business or fitness because that is what I talk about on this podcast, but this is really just about life. Okay, you can apply all of these to life. You know, they're just so grounded. Like, they just feel so freaking grounded when I interact with them, when I hear them, when I observe them. Like, they are standing on firm ground. And I guess they speak their truth without reservation. Not because they believe, you know, that it's the end-all be-all or that they won't hear anything else. That's not what I'm getting at. But because they've done the work, they've taken in likely a lot of information over years and years and have landed where they are with their philosophy and what they believe to be true in regards to lots of different things. I feel like I'm not articulating this well, but I hope that you get what I'm saying. Basically, I feel like, you know, through observation, that they speak clearly on what they believe and firmly. And that does apply to whether it is their business model, whether it is how they coach, what they believe to be true about health and fitness, their worldview, all of those things. It's all encompassing for me. Okay, they have a firm philosophy and they speak their truth without apology. It doesn't mean they're not scared to speak their truth, but it's consistent. I don't question what their philosophy is. It's clear to me, right? And I don't have to agree with it either. This is not to say that I agree with all of these people's philosophy or what they believe to be true, but I enjoy and look up to people who are firm in their philosophy and who do speak their truth, who have the guts to do that and the courage to do that. So maybe courage would be what is kind of the backbone of number three. Number four is that they're lifelong learners. And I put this after number three because having a firm philosophy doesn't mean that you're stuck in that philosophy. Doesn't mean that you won't hear anything else, like I said. So number four, they're lifelong learners. There's not much to elaborate on this one. They are not stagnant and they are open to learning. While they are firm in their values and their philosophies, they are also open to conversations and learning from new perspectives. And I think a misconception with learning and listening is also, I do think you should be able to listen and learn and change beliefs and perspectives. I literally have podcasts on what I used to believe and what I believe now, and the fact that what I believe today will likely change in the future. But I think there's this misconception, and I could be wrong, I don't know, that when you listen to someone, you know, it's expected that you're going to change your perspective. And that's, you know, that's absolutely, I don't have the word ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous to expect that of someone. It's one thing to expect someone to listen and respect your view. It's another to talk to someone with the expectation that they're going to change their perspective. That's not an even playing field, and it's ridiculous in my opinion. And again, it's just my opinion, so think what you want. But I think that, you know, being a lifelong learner, and what I'm talking about is that this comes natural to very few human beings, if we're being honest. It's extremely dangerous to think that you have no more to learn on a topic, or that there is no value in continuing to learn on a topic. And that's any topic. I think that that is a very dangerous place to be. And I think every single mentor, hero, person that I hold in high regard is a lifelong learner and verbally talks about the importance of always being a beginner, always learning, always having that mindset that you do not know it all, and that your truth is not everyone's truth as well. So I will go ahead and leave it at that and move on to number 5, which is that they dream big. I do think that some people are dreamers. This comes easier to some people than other people. That some people have an easier time dreaming big, like big goals. Is, you know, a highly analytical, realistic, and practical personality type, dreaming does not come easily to me. It is very scary, actually. It challenges me a lot. And you might think, like, but Annie, you traveled the world for a year and a half, and, you know, now 6 weeks later, you're closing on 5 acres of land and you want to build your dream house. Like, I get it. You might be confused, as I am aware that the life that I live can look like that of a dreamer. But let me make some facts clear. I married a dreamer, and he married an action taker. That's the combination you're looking at with Nate and I. Nate is a dreamer. I am an action taker. So we do the things. His dreams scare me, but they also push me. And they've helped me to be open to dreaming big and believing things are possible and just saying, what if? What if we could make it happen? You know, being open to that. And he gets to see those dreams come true because if you give me a task, I will stop at almost nothing to complete that task. So on that note, I'll say that my mentors and heroes are dreamers in large part because they are not afraid of failing. That is not to say they won't fail or don't acknowledge that they can fail, but they welcome challenges within the dream and are willing to adjust where needed during that process. They simply believe that the dream can happen, and that they are deserving of it, whatever that may be, which is where I get caught up most of the time, and maybe you can relate to that. Getting caught up in the, that's too big for me. That could never happen for me. I could never have that. And this isn't material things, right? This could be an impact that we're talking about on humanity, a difference that you can make. Thinking you're too small. I think that most people on some level can relate to that. And the people that I look up to are willing to say, you know, this is what I want, whether it's an action or a material thing or whatever, a change. And they're willing to say, I don't know how to do it, but it's my dream. It's in me. And I'm willing to say, what if I can make that happen? How might I make that happen? Right? They ask questions and they entertain possibilities. Number 6 is that they act big. They do the thing. So they dream big and they act big. And when I say act big, I am really saying they take action. Not like they act larger than life, okay? Action is a habit in their life. It's a constant, like breathing or brushing their teeth. It's just a part of what they do. They don't hesitate to act. And this is one that I have gained much experience in. I mean, this might apply to all of these, really. But the more that I take action, the more natural it becomes. I hesitate less. I have come to see the magic that happens from just doing it, from making things happen. And the reward typically outweighs the risk in the end. Not always, but typically. And that's a very broad statement. Obviously, there is always context to consider, but people I look up to tend not to hesitate when it comes to action. They act, and they act in alignment, which goes back to number 1, you know, being aware and in line with their true self, understanding their core values. All of these kind of go together and or help one another. So these people are willing to figure out the details as they go. That's not to say that they don't have a plan, but they are aware that they don't need every single detail figured out before they start, because that's where we get paralyzed, right? When you think you have to have all the steps, you don't do anything because you're waiting to have all the steps, when really you just need to start, take action, and learn and trust that you are capable of figuring stuff out and changing and being flexible and all of the above. Number 7 is that they don't give energy to what non-vital people think. That can sound a little harsh, I know. Allow me to explain. I actually kind of nail this one. I am very good at doing this. Like, I kind of consider myself the queen of giving the least amount of shits about what people think. Not all people. I care a lot about what some people think, right? People that I value, people that I think have a say, or that I want to give a say in my life, in the way I do something, in the way I approach something. But like I said, people who are not vital to whatever the topic at hand is. If a family member has a thought about my training programs, my philosophy, or my business, and they literally have no power or say in that arena, I will happily, openly, and completely dismiss it. And you can do that in a respectful manner. I don't know if I've nailed that piece, but I have no problem dismissing comments, opinions, suggestions of people who really do not matter or have a place speaking over and into whatever the topic at hand is. Where most of these things do not come easily to me, right? 1 through 6, maybe. This one is like a gift. And I do attribute my quote-unquote success, whatever that means, to my ability to shut out voices that truly do not matter. The people might matter, but their opinion about said subject does not matter. And let me make clear that those voices may matter the most in another area of my life, but not this one, whatever that may be, right? Hopefully that makes sense. I just know that a lot of people spend a lot of time giving way too much energy to what non-vital people think about their dream, their goal, their stance on something. And that's unfortunate. And where it's, you know, my gift, you know, other people may be really good at doing some of these other things that I am not good at. We're not all the same. That would be a terrible world to live in. Number 8, they take responsibility. This is not one that I do very well, actually, at. I think it's important to be real with ourselves on this one. How are we really at taking responsibility when we screw up? Specifically, that's what this is in regard to. How well do we receive criticism or take responsibility when we shit the bed on something? Now, I've gotten better at this, but through a lot of practice. Like, innately, I am not good at this. I was just discussing with someone the other day that entrepreneurship has tested this more than any other area of my life. More than marriage, more than sports, more than being an employee, more than being a coach. Quite frankly, for me anyway, entrepreneurship forced me to take responsibility and criticism or stay small. That was my option. Own it. Learn and do better, or be a turd and remain stagnant. And obviously I wasn't, you know, willing to be a turd and remain stagnant, so I learned, am learning, this will likely be a lifelong one for me, how to take responsibility and criticism well, because I don't take it well. There are very few people in my life who I have been willing to take criticism from. And it's not even easy coming from them. So I truly do tend to think that my way is the best way, which is obviously not the case, not always anyway. And so this one is a hard pill for me to swallow, and it's one that I have to be very aware of and need a lot of refining with. I am very aware that I am not good at number 8, you know, taking responsibility and or criticism. And I think that it's really cool that entrepreneurship especially made me aware of that, because it kind of gave me the ultimatum. Like I said, I could either learn to take responsibility and criticism and do better, right? And actually reach my goals and dreams. Or I could ignore criticism from valuable people and not taking responsibility when I mess up, and I could stay where I was, which was just not an option. So again, that applies to any area of life for sure. But for me, entrepreneurship is where that really, where I became most aware of that. Number nine is that they're leaders. When I say leader, I mean they are people who allow the people they guide to refine them. They look in the mirror constantly. They're emotionally aware and working to improve on learning about humans and learning about themselves. That is how I view a leader. I personally was chosen as a leader in a lot of my life, and I would not at all consider myself a natural born leader. I don't quote unquote get people, and leaders, or people that I look at as leaders, they get people. They're compassionate and caring and compelling. Perhaps I had other pieces of a leader, for sure. I led very strongly by example, but I was not good when it came to verbally leading and communicating. When it came to understanding my teammates or people that I was leading, I did not excel at that. That is not natural for me. I'm like, hi, I'm working my ass off. Is everyone else doing that? Okay, great. That's the extent of my born leadership. So people that I look at, that I look up to, I consider them leaders, but I see them as leaders through being emotionally stable, aware, and having connectivity with other people. Number 10, they have mad boundaries. Boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. Oh my goodness. This one is so huge. I first learned about boundaries on a personal level when I determined that I needed them with regard to some family stuff. And I mean, who doesn't need family boundaries, right? I was about 18 or 19 at the time when this happened, and ever since then, I have seen the result of people who do and do not have boundaries, and let me tell you, I want to be on team boundaries. Not only having them, but also knowing how to communicate those boundaries to the people affected by said boundaries. That's where I think a lot of people get held up. It's not knowing what boundaries they need, but it's being scared of how the needed boundaries will be received by all parties involved. And maybe I'm completely wrong on that, but from my observation, from my own personal experience, this is what I've seen. When it comes to time, and mental health and managing emotional health, I think establishing clear boundaries can be a serious game changer in relationships, in business, in just life in general. And I by no means have boundaries clear or finalized at all. And, you know, with time, I try to look for areas that boundaries might be effective in my life, in my business, in relationships, all over the place. Because like I said, I've just seen how great boundaries can be for both parties, for everyone involved. I just think that there's a lot of power in boundaries, and I have definitely observed that as a practice of people who I look up to and hold in high regard. So that is it, my friends, the 10 things that I see or have seen over my years of having mentors, coaches, heroes, and peers who I admire. Hopefully that was helpful or insightful for you. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, maybe you have your own 10 that you would like to aspire to be like or have observed in people you look up to. If you loved this episode or find value here on the FitsPro podcast, please go ahead and head over to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and leave the show a 5-star review. And then also a written review. That is how I get in front of more people, reach more people, which is the goal of this podcast. It is so appreciated. And remember that I choose a reviewer of the week and then choose a listener of the month from those reviewers of the week. And that person will receive 50% off any non-membership program of mine, plus a freebie from Frey Skincare. And you can always use code FDBA to save at least 15% with Frey. They're amazing. I have blog posts on them. Check out all the things. If you're not on my main mailing list, make sure that you are, because there are podcast listener discounts at the bottom of every weekly email, and you can subscribe at anniemiller.co/news. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for listening to the FitzPro Podcast.